Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Monica Brain. Cigarette smoking is on the decline in the U.S. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention find the percentage of adults who smoke is down more than 3% from a decade ago. But the same study also finds American Indians and Alaska Natives have the highest smoking rates of any ethnic group. When cigarette smoking is a major cause of preventable disease, why are we still smoking so much? Join our discussion right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Social media is flooded with tributes to John Trudell. The poet, actor, and political activist has passed away. We'll have more about his life and influence in Indian country. But first, we turn to Canada, where the government has launched a national investigation on missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, a move First Nations leaders and families have long called for. Also, the National Chief of the Assembly of First Nations, Perry Bellegarde, spoke highly of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau at a special Assembly of Chiefs Tuesday. More from Dan Karpinchuk.
The atmosphere was far different for this meeting, and in fact far different from other gatherings of Native leaders. The optimism was reflected in the smiles on the faces of the National Chief and other chiefs. Hundreds of them were on hand for the three-day gathering. Bellegarde could hardly contain his enthusiasm as he reflected on the fact that for the first time, Canada's Aboriginal people engaged in the election process. 10 elected members of Parliament are Aboriginal. 2 of them have been named cabinet ministers in the federal government.
We meet today at a great time of great challenge in the world and in our territories across this land. And yet there is hope and optimism for better days ahead.
Bellegarde also welcomed Liberal Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, saying it's been many years since a Prime Minister has sat down with First Nations leaders. And he said this Prime Minister has not only pledged change, but has shown that he embraces change and demonstrated that during the opening of the Paris Climate Conference.
Canada's 4 seats for the opening ceremonies, they were occupied by 4 individuals. The Prime Minister, number one, was there. The Minister of Foreign Affairs, Stephen Dion. The Minister of Environment and Climate Change, Catherine McKenna. And myself. The Assembly of First Nations was part of that delegation.
Tomorrow I'll have more on what the Prime Minister said to Native leaders. I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
John Trudell, well known for his lifelong activism, including in the American Indian Movement and for his artistic expression, passed away Tuesday. A trustee for his estate says he died at his California home, surrounded by family and friends. Trudell spoke with our sister program, Native America Calling, earlier this year about his role in music as a writer and spoken word artist.
In reality, we live in, everything is about energy. Everything. We are units of energy. So anyway, everything's about energy. Being part of human is the energy part, spirit. And all energy has frequencies. Just the way that it is the way it works. And so for us as human beings, the music is one of those energies that kind of, the frequency of it is like, it's a medicine.
Friends are among those remembering his contributions. Jonelle Romero with the Red Nation Film Festival says he was honored last year with the Lifetime Achievement Award and says she hopes younger people embrace the lessons he taught.
To learn and to read about John Trudell and to learn about who he was and the legacy that he's left. And the personal message is his beautiful, beautiful, beautiful energy that he carried and the love that he had in his heart for the people.
Film producer Heather Ray traveled with him to create the documentary Trudell.
I do feel like that he was one of the most important figures in terms of, the 20th and 21st century, certainly for Indian country, and was such a profound orator, voiced something for everyone. Not just Native people, in the sense that he speaks for the earth. He has a way of looking at the world and history that I think has been extraordinarily educational and inspirational for many, many people.
Trudell passed away at age 69. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kawanic Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
Support for this program is provided by the Native American Rights Fund, reminding you that sovereignty is not free. For 45 years, NARF has stood firm for justice in Indian country on critical issues such as treaty enforcement, hunting and fishing rights, Indian child welfare, religious freedom, and more. You too can become a modern-day warrior. Stand firm with NARF. Learn more at NARF.org and join the fight for Native rights.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, sitting in for Tara Gatewood. As you heard in the newscast, poet, musician, and activist John Trudell died yesterday after a long illness. We send out our condolences to his family and friends, and we'll have a few words about him at the end of the show. But first, we will want to begin our discussion today on smoking. Tobacco is sacred to some tribes. It's used during healing practices and ceremonies. But it is well documented that prolonged use of commercial tobacco causes a host of health problems, including cancer. A new study by the CDC highlights a significant concern about the smoking habits of Native Americans. The study finds some good news, that Native smoking rates have gone down a little bit, but that we are still at the top of the charts compared to other ethnicities. Where is the line between tobacco becoming a health risk and using it for sacred purposes? If smoking is the leading cause of preventable disease and death, then why are we still lighting up? Join our conversation today by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And as always, we only ask that you share what you're comfortable sharing. Again, that number is 1-800-996-2848. Joining us now from Sacramento, California, is Chris Cooper. He is the health education specialist in tobacco and cancer prevention at the California Rural Indian Health Board, and he is of Navajo descent. Welcome to the program, Chris.
Good morning.
It's great to have you on today. So talk to us a little bit about these smoking rates. Why do you think that Native American smoking rates, well, actually, first, talk to us about the national rates. National rates are going down. Tell us a little bit about that and why you think that is.
The national rates are going down, but there is more recent data showing, I know here in California, that the rates are going back up. But I think part of the reason that it is going down is tribal members, council members are becoming more aware of the burden of commercial tobacco and the abuse, and developing policies around it, whether it's smoke-free facilities, smoke-free housing, some tribes, taxation to help reduce it. So there's a lot out there that's starting to push it down, but there really isn't near enough yet funding coming in to help educate people and bring that to the forefront for tribes to better understand it.
What are the smoking rates for Native Americans?
That varies from every region. It can be as high as 80% to probably around 30%. Areas that it is around 80%, cigarettes are very cheap. There's no taxes on them, and it's about $1.80 a pack on the reservation. If you were to go, I know here in California, if I was to go across the street for a pack of Marlboros, it's about, if they're on sale, it's about $5.50 a pack. Otherwise, they're about $6.50 with all of the taxes. So if it's easily accessible and cheap, it allows people to, it's not as much of a burden cost-wise to be able to purchase them.
And Chris, Talk to us a little bit about the dangers of smoking. I know many of us know this, but there's definitely a lot of illnesses that can be caused by long-term smoking of commercial tobacco.
There is a lot of illnesses. As we know, the two leading causes of death in the Indian country are cancer and cardiovascular disease. I know those kind of switch every year, but most 30% of cancer is related to smoking, and smoking does increase because it's constricting your arteries. It increases your chance of heart attack or stroke, and it's also, as CDC and the Surgeon General put out last year, known to be a cause of diabetes. And if we were to look at lung cancer actually used to be very rare in this country. And it's something that was known by the commercial tobacco industry in the 30s, that link, because once smoking increased, they started to see, in this country, they started to see an increase in lung cancer. And there's a lot of questions of, why is there this increase? This is rare. It hardly ever happens. The industry knew it was starting in the 30s and kind of put that research aside to be able to sell more products, and kind of made fun of it because they knew, they, as they put it in some of their old documents, it was a good thing they sold an addictive product. But if smoking was completely banned, 90% of lung cancer would disappear.
Wow. Well, we are talking about smoking today, and if you want to get in on the conversation, our phone lines are open for you. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Are you an ex-smoker? Call us and tell us why you quit. We also want to hear from you if you are still smoking. Are you struggling to stop? Have you made it a New Year's resolution? We want to hear from you. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. If you have tips for quitting smoking, we want to hear those too. Again, 1-800-996-2848. Let's go to Keith in Anchorage, Alaska. Tune in on KNBA. Hi there, Keith. Good morning.
Good morning.
And what would you like to share?
Just one of the questions that it sounded like was raised in the beginning was, why are people still smoking? And an elder shared with me a while back that the reason she still smokes is control. She felt that, and had spoken often about so many things being taken away from her, in regards to language, in regards to control over her own life. And it was one of the things that has been kind of a constant from when she was a young teenager that she's had as part of her life. And now I couldn't speak for her, but I feel like there's probably some type of enmeshment between how she used it, how she dealt with, you know, things in her life moving forward, and then how cigarettes continue to play a part. I mean, she knows it's bad for her health, obviously. I think there's plenty of information out there about that, but it is, it's this modicum of control she has over her environment, and so she just says, you know, no one's going to take this away from me. Kind of an interesting perspective.
And you, Keith, she was an elder, so what did you say in response to that?
You know, with respect, there's not much I can say. I would tell her, just kind of laugh with her, and she would say, you know, of course I know it's not good for me. Of course I know that my kids see me doing this, but it is just, it's nothing that I'm willing to change. And, you know, as my elder, there's not a whole lot I can do other than sort of tease occasionally and try and get her to understand the impact that it has on her children and potentially the next generation.
Keith, thanks so much for giving us a call from Anchorage, Alaska. Tuned in on KNBA. Chris, what do you think? The idea that smoking creates a sense of control over your life, or maybe even that it makes you feel like you have a sense of freedom. Also, I'm interested in how we can talk to our elders about this when we want to be as respectful as possible, but also, you know, relay that we care about them and
maybe think that they shouldn't be doing this.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go to the first part about the control, because Keith, the caller, had mentioned the loss of language, the loss of culture. I mean, all through I mean, we all know about historical trauma, but there's been, and I've met people all the time that they went to boarding schools, they lost their tradition, the dances, their knowledge, and this is really a part of tobacco marketing. If you look at natural American spirit cigarettes, they play on that. Companies try to make it a part of the culture. They bring about, well, there's traditional tobacco, so we'll just sell them the commercial tobacco. And even if you go onto Natural American Spirit's website, it says that they're created in their belief in the traditional Native American usage of tobacco. And their brand name was chosen as a symbol of respect for that tradition. I don't know about tradition, because tradition's not profiting or selling products that cause cancer or illnesses or death. But if you look at their marketing, you know, they have the guy with the peace pipe and the headdress. They have the eagle on the top. A while ago, they had vignettes with old elders and pictures of elders from the 1800s. So they're kind of like the baseball cards that used to be in packs of cigarettes. You still see Indians outside of cigar stores, Redmond Tobacco. So the industry does a really good job of promoting it as this is part of your tradition. Commercial tobacco is part of your tradition. And beyond Natural American Spirits, they're owned by R.J. Reynolds. They're not Native owned. They're owned by R.J. Reynolds, which is one of the largest tobacco manufacturers in the U.S. And if you know R.J. Reynolds, you also know, you know that they own Camel cigarettes. Camel ran one of the biggest, most successful advertising campaigns in the world with Joe Camel for brand identity. More in a 1994 study, more four-year-olds knew who Joe Camel was than Mickey Mouse or the McDonald's logo. So everyone knew that campaign, and that's what they're doing a lot, trying to bring it back to saying, this is part of your tradition, smoke these. And American Spirit's become one of the top-selling brands in the last 2 years here in the U.S. So there is that aspect of it. But in regards to talking to elders, we know that we have a shorter life expectancy than the non-Hispanic white population in the U.S., and that's due to things like cancer, diabetes, heart, cardiovascular disease, all things related to smoking. So we lose that wisdom and knowledge and that tradition that they hold. And so when we talk to elders, we want to be able to tell them that we want you to be around to be able to share your wisdom, to be able to share your knowledge and experiences, to be able to teach these dances or how to make baskets or whatever their whatever that is that they can offer to the community or talking with youth about it. And another area is also if, I know we're familiar with the CDC TIPS campaign, but if you look locally in your tribe and you get an talk with an elder that quit smoking, if they're willing to tell their story, what things affected them, what things they like about since they quit smoking, on video or something, that's something that you can play at different meetings or inside the clinic while you're waiting. So people are aware that, yes, you can quit, and this is coming from an elder, and they're sharing their wisdom about what it took for them to quit.
Chris, I'd love to throw that out there for our listening audience right now. If there's an elder listening and you have quit smoking, we want to hear from you. Give us a call right now. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. What was the motivation for you to quit smoking, and how did you do it? Give us a call and tell us the tips. We also want to know, how is your life different now that you've quit smoking? Again, 1-800-996-2848. 2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Chris Cooper is with us today from the California Rural Indian Health Board. And I want to bring another voice into the conversation. Joining us from Morton, Minnesota is Matt Pendleton. He is a tobacco prevention coordinator for the Lower Sioux Indian community, and he is Lower Sioux. Welcome to Native America Calling, Matt.
Well, good afternoon.
It's great to have you here. So talk to us a little bit. We in the introduction, we talked about the complication or maybe the problem with the fact that tobacco is sacred in many communities, but commercial tobacco use is very high. And so talk to us a little bit about what tobacco means in the Lower Sioux Indian community.
Well, for our Dakota community, we call it chinchasha. It's the inner layer of red willow. When we go out and harvest it, we go after the first snowfall and before the first thunder. And we do this, it's natural. It's our first medicine. We use it for our pipe when we smoke it to prayer. It's our way of communicating with our Creator and our loved ones that have passed. We believe that smoking that with no chemicals, it's not processed. It speaks for our soul and our heart. And it says things that we can, as humans, express. And it's very important. It's a seasonal thing that when you harvest it, we use it in our ceremonial aspect of our life. That's why we say keep tobacco sacred. We use it for tobacco ties, for offerings, for healing, for guidance. We also do it for powwows to ask a host drum to come and sing for our people.
So when you're using the term tobacco, you're not talking about the brown plant that grows commonly down south that gets turned into cigarettes and things like that. It's something completely different.
It is way different. And it's red willow. It grows naturally. That is what it is for Dakota, Lakota, Nakota people. And it grows wild all over by the river and in the fields. And a big part of that, the education about it, is we didn't have right to keep that until the Freedom of Religion Act for American Indians in 1978. So that being against the law to keep Native American religious stuff on you until 78 does a big part of families not knowing what it is, how to keep it sacred, is because you could go to jail for having it. And like he said before about the boarding schools and all the effect that it has had on our people, the family, my grandma didn't teach my mother our language because of the treatment she had in boarding schools. So from that, her not passing down the language and the other teachings, it was missed, and but it's coming back strong now in our community. So
we are talking about smoking today, and in particular using commercial tobacco. Our commercial tobacco rates are going down, but they are still the highest among any ethnic group. We want to hear from you. What do you think about commercial tobacco versus sacred tobacco? Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. Let's go to Anthony in Yakima, Washington, tuned in on KSFC. Hi there, Anthony. What would you like to share?
Yes, ma'am. I would like to say that I stopped smoking January 8, 2000. And the reason I did so was a number of health reasons and financial reasons. As I told the young man before you, I saved $16,000, and I stopped counting that a couple of years ago. And the other thing is my blood pressure was up there like 130, 140. Now I got it down to about, above, just above high. So I went to the sweat lodge, went back there, and I remember that. Like I told a young man, I used to drink and smoke, and I quit all that stuff, and I went back to the lodge, and I've been pretty healthy since then, and I've saved a lot of money. That's what I'd like to share. If somebody like me can do it, anybody can do it, and I'm 62 years old, and I expect another probably healthy 10 years out of me.
Anthony, that's wonderful. You know, Anthony, $16,000 is a lot of money. How much were you smoking when you quit?
Well, when I stopped, I was like a two-pack-a-day smoker, and I smoked for about 15, 20 years. And I can remember when I started smoking back in the 60s, a pack of cigarettes was like 30, 40 cents. And then when I stopped, it was like $1.75. And I was a little upset. And then after I stopped, it went up to $2.25. So that really, really sunk in. And I'm glad I stopped. And I think I figured out it was in 10 years when I figured that I saved up about that much money.
And Anthony, before we let you go, I have to ask, you know, how did you go from two packs a day to not smoking? Did you use anything or did you go cold turkey?
Well, I had a spiritual advisor who told me to say some sincere prayers. If I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and which I was, I said some prayers. I said, okay, you know, if you're going to help me, I need it right now. And that's when I went back to the sweat lodge and cleaned myself and purified myself and said, okay, if I'm going to make this is it. So I did that. And then I went to our Indian Health Service, and I picked up a box of those tobacco patches, and I put two of them things in my back pocket in case I couldn't make it. You know what, after about a week of packing them around, I felt kind of ridiculous and said, okay, thank you, higher power. And I took it out of my pocket and I just been cruising on trust in my higher power and everything else. So I'm healthier for it, happier for it too.
All right, Anthony, thanks so much for giving us a call from Yakima, Washington. Tuned in on KSFC. And the phone lines are open for you if you'd like to share your story of quitting. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Or if you are still smoking and you maybe have an intention to quit after the new year, give us a call. Also, I want to hear from some folks who are still smoking and intend to keep smoking. You are welcome to the conversation as well. Again, that number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Matt Pendleton is with us. He's the Tobacco Prevention Coordinator for the Lower Sioux Indian Community, and he is Lower Sioux. Also, we have Chris Cooper. He is the Health Education Specialist in Tobacco and Cancer Prevention at the California Rural Indian Health Board. And if you've got questions for these gentlemen about smoking, give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. We'll be right back. Native culture is gaining ground when it comes to solving pervasive issues like homelessness, caring for elders, alcoholism, and unemployment. Some organizations are emphasizing the benefit of strong cultural identity in order to thrive in the modern environment. Join us as we talk about the cutting edge of Native identity on the next Native America Calling.
in and out of the looking glass. The land of desperate hearts and wandering souls, tearing at your mind. Did you ever get the blues?
Every year, Alaskans lose thousands of dollars to advance fee loan scams. Watch out for lenders who say you are approved for a loan, but demand that you pay upfront fees before giving you the money. You could end up paying hundreds of dollars for a loan you never receive. This message is brought to you by the Consumer Protection Unit of the Alaska Office of the Attorney General.
Welcome back. You are listening to Native America Calling. I'm Monica Brain, sitting in for Tara Gatewood. When the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention released a new study about smoking last month, there were a few things to celebrate. One of them being the fact that overall Americans are smoking less. But there are also a couple of interesting and concerning things that came out of the study. Researchers found that smoking rates were higher among people in certain communities, including men who are aged 20 to 44 years old, Native Americans, people with a GED, people in poverty, uninsured people, folks in the Midwest. Do you fit into one of those categories? Are you a smoker? Why do you smoke or why not? We are focusing on smoking in Native America today. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Matt Pendleton is with us. He's a tobacco prevention coordinator for the Lower Sioux Indian community. And we also have Chris Cooper, who is a health education specialist in tobacco and cancer prevention for the California Rural Indian Health Board. Matt, before the break, we were talking a little bit about the native view of traditional tobacco. And you were saying that red willow is sacred and a traditional thing to be used. How did it come that the tobacco plant that grows in the South, that gets rolled up into cigarettes, also became viewed as sacred?
I believe it goes back to our freedom of religion and our elders, a way of keeping our tradition alive, would use that commercial tobacco, because it was against the law to go harvest our traditional stuff in the public. And just the lack of knowledge that has been passed down because of the trauma that happened to our people from being who we are or living the way of life that we do as Native people.
That's really interesting, Matt. We've got some callers on the line. Let's go to Stan in Española, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Hey there, Stan. What would you like to share?
Yes, my name is Stan. I'm from Taos, Pueblo. But anyway, I smoked commercial tobacco for many years and got so tired of smoking it, and it was bothering my health that I decided to quit in 2013, so I've been tobacco-free for now going on about 2 years, or 2.5 years.
That's really great, Stan. How did you quit?
Something about tobacco, because the commercial tobacco, because what I gain and glean from my research is that it's very, very bad for the human body.
And Stan, how do you draw the line between commercial tobacco and sacred tobacco? Which is sacred, which is commercial?
I don't want to go into that subject because it's the kind of tobacco we smoke at our ceremonies is I'm not allowed, or I would hesitate to speak about it.
Oh, yes, of course. I would never ask that.
My comments are mostly on commercial tobacco.
Absolutely. Stan, and tell us, how did you quit? Did you use something or did you just go cold turkey?
Well, I had tried to quit numerous times. At one time, I was tobacco-free for 1 year, and I had a relapse. And then I tried again in February 2013, and this time I went cold turkey. And I just used the 12-step program to help me to deal with it.
That's really great, Stan. Congratulations, and thanks so much for giving us a call from Española, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. And we are talking about smoking today. Give us a call if you want to share something about smoking. The number is 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Chris, we've had two callers now talk about going cold turkey, quitting just right off the bat. But there's many other ways to quit smoking. Talk to us a little bit about that.
There are several ways, and I can be honest, when I quit, I also did it cold turkey. But there's a lot of resources out there. The clinic, most people, I'll start with the good news, is that American Indians and Alaska Natives have the most quit attempts per year out of all races, and the most people that say they want to quit. So there is that realization. Research shows that if the doctor is involved in recommending to quit, more people are going to quit. So it is important for the clinics during the doctor's visits to be screening for tobacco use and making those recommendations to patients. There's the quit lines, 1-800-QUIT-NOW, or if you're in California, 1-800-NO-BUTS. But they are trained. There's a new quit line there in South Dakota that's specifically for American Indians. And there's a lot of resources if you look on the internet. There's a second wind cessation classes that may be offered in your community that are native-based and talk about the differences between commercial tobacco and traditional tobacco. There's a lot of text messaging services. I know that there's the Vet Quit for American veterans that's run through the Veterans Administration. And it'll actually send you text messages and encouragement and helping you prepare for quitting. I know text message rates apply in there, so if you have a limit on text, you might want to take care of that. But there's a variety of resources out there. And there's also the pharmaceutical resources, such as the patches that one of the callers was talking about, or the nicotine gums, so Archantex and Wellbutrin.
And Chris, I have heard a number of people talking about using e-cigarettes as a means for quitting or switching over. Do you have any insight onto that route?
There's not a whole lot of data out there yet because e-cigarettes are obviously something that have been within the last 10 years, but high usage of it has just been our explosion of the use of e-cigarettes has just been in the last couple of years. So we don't know no studies to see the long-term effects of using them. And because they haven't been scientifically studied, you'll see the companies say fall just short of saying that they're a cessation aid because they haven't been approved as that by FDA. But there is some research out there, contradictory research. Some will say it helps quit. A lot of them are finding people that use it to start quitting are actually using both e-cigarettes and cigarettes and just using the e-cigarettes in places that they can't smoke, inside buildings and restaurants. And then when they go back outside, they go back to the regular cigarettes.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because there are so few places that you can smoke these days. And I wonder if that is encouraging people to quit. Give us a call. The number is 1-800-996-2848. There's still time for you to get in on the conversation. We're talking about smoking. And why are our smoking rates so high in Native America? We want to hear from you. 1-800-996-2848. Let's go to Sarah in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. Hey there, Sarah.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you great.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to comment that there is all the soap places, little places left to smoke. But you know where there is a place that you could smoke all you want? It's the casinos and the resorts on the reservation. So, and they're within the nation's community. So that's a huge problem. I would like to, you know, give business. I would like to attend these resorts and casinos and even just to go and eat and do other things. I don't gamble. But, you know, it's like the cigarettes just irritate me so much that I have to stay away. So, and what I'm saying is I'm advocating that if they ban smoking from these casinos, that the nations would make more money. You know, their proceeds would go up because for every one smoker, there's like four people that do not smoke. So that's like only 20% of the people that smoke and 80% that do not smoke. So you're catering to a market that's a minority of smoking gamblers. And I just want to bring this up is that, yeah, there is a still place where you could smoke, and it's the casinos on the reservation. I mean, isn't that kind of hilarious?
It is really interesting, Sarah. It's definitely one of those things that I'm sure many tribal communities are having conversations about. Chris, has your organization talked at all with tribes about whether or not they can make their casinos more friendly to non-smokers, or, you know, maybe even make the entire casino non-smoking?
In the past, through separate funding we did, and we do have a secondhand smoke casino policy guideline. But there's a lot of, working with the casinos, there's a lot of fight back from the tobacco industry because they know this is really the last bastion of where people can smoke freely in an indoor place. And I can say probably 2 years ago, the California Tribal Epidemiology Center here did a survey, BRFRA survey of 1,000 American Indians here in California. And when I asked how many days you breathe secondhand smoke in an indoor workplace during the last 7 days, 14% said they'd breathe secondhand smoke 5 to 7 days within the last 7 days, and a total of 34% had breathed secondhand smoke in an indoor workplace. And we know that most of that indoor workplace here in California pretty much means a casino. So is that exposure to the their own tribal members of the secondhand smoke, and the Great Lakes Tribal Epidemiology Center just released a study in 2014 with the casinos there, and there's an American Journal of Public Health, I believe. I don't have it right in front of me, but they're actually able to go do surveys and see that even the high rollers and high spenders that the casinos wanted, those people would still come if smoking was banned, and they would prefer it. So there's a lot of information out there, but you know, we had a casino here that went completely smoke-free about a year ago, and they had record profits. But less than a year later, they went back to allowing smoking because there's that myth out there that you're going to lose 30% of your customers if you ban smoking. That's a myth that the industry pushes on the tribes.
Wow.
But when they do surveys, you're actually going to increase business if you ban smoking.
That's really interesting. We're talking about smoking today. Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Julia in Minneapolis. And Julia, what would you like to share with us today?
Hi, yes. My name is Julia Jacobson. I work for the American Indian Cancer Foundation in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I just wanted to share with you our new program that we have been working on here. It's called Quick Connections, and we're using social media, Facebook specifically, to create an online support group for American Indians who want to quit smoking and offer them motivational support, suggestions on how to avoid cravings, ideas to come up with a quit plan, all in just a really positive way. So I just really wanted to share that that's a new tactic that people have been using is social media support, and it's been working really well for us, and we've been getting a lot of really great feedback.
Julia, do you have a website that you'd like to share?
Absolutely, yeah. So if you want to see our Quick Connections Facebook group, you can join it. It's facebook.com/groups /quitconnections, one word.
Julia, do you talk much in your program about how to get people to be motivated to quit? I know there's so many different reasons and ways that people come about just making that decision to quit. For me, I smoked for 15 years, and my motivation was finally understanding how the tobacco companies advertise to people of color and to communities in poverty, and really just feeling like I had been duped by the companies. And that was enough motivation for me. But I know that's not necessarily how everyone goes about deciding to quit.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And everyone's motivations, we find, are so unique and so personal. A lot of people quit because of family. A lot of people quit because of reasons like you gave, with media and teens and the effect on youth. A lot of people quit for their health. And as the American Indian Cancer Foundation, obviously we encourage people to quit because it's a way to avoid cancer and a lot of potentially really devastating health effects later in life. So, yeah, we really do encourage people to find their motivation. And it's a unique process. And we try to help with that by just asking questions on Facebook, you know, where people are logging on every day and seeing things and interacting with their friends and family. And we find that that's a really good way to get people to start thinking about this in a really just informal way. You know, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to start in a formal program. I mean, you can just start by sharing on Facebook your path to quitting smoking. So, yeah, that's what we've been doing.
Julia, thanks for giving us a call from Minneapolis. And our phone lines are open. If you still want to get in on the conversation, it's 1-800-996-2848. Matt Pendleton is the Tobacco Prevention Coordinator for the Lower Sioux Indian Community. Matt, let's talk a little bit about the young people and youth smoking commercial tobacco. How are you reaching young people in your area?
We are offering drum and dance to kind of get them away from or educating them on traditional tobacco use and how it is sacred to us. We also do workshops on harvesting our traditional tobacco to teach them how to do it. So it's hard work to do it, but it's very rewarding and the benefits that we get it, because that tobacco is used for all of our ceremonies. We use tobacco, and teaching those kids the difference that our traditional, you know, the relationship to plants and the earth and the sky, you know, it's teaching them and preserving that and passing it on to our young people is what is important. And my job is funded by the Minnesota Health Department, and it's a commercial tobacco use prevention and concession. So that's a statewide grant that is geared to Native people to educate on the use of traditional tobacco. So in my tribe, that's what we're doing is bringing back our dance and our songs to help our young people know the difference between commercial tobacco and traditional tobacco.
Matt, if you could share like the most critical piece of information about commercial tobacco, what would you say that it is?
All the abuse and chemicals that they add, you know, Native people, we're a very addictive people. And the commercial tobacco targets us because we as Dakota, Lakota, Nakota, we've been smoking tobacco before contact. And to play that role and getting us hooked And once you get hooked, it's hard to quit. So, you know, those chemicals that they add that cause cancer, and the fact that they try to play it off as being, you know, traditional, like Chris was talking about that company saying it's based off Native American beliefs, really hooks our people, and it kind of helps our people deal with the trauma that we've gone through, because I believe that we have a hard time dealing with the way of life, you know, that was taken from us.
Absolutely. Matt, thank you so much for sharing that with us today. We really appreciate it. And Chris, we are almost at the end of the hour. And, you know, any last thoughts on how we can talk to folks about smoking and maybe even have a conversation about it without being, you know, coming across as being judgmental or judgy?
I'd just like to say for people, there's a place with a lot of great resources with the National Native Network. And if you go to their website, keepitsacred.org, you'll find policies from tribes around the country, around commercial tobacco, smoke-free policies, advertising policies. There's a lot of podcasts and webinars for improving health care and other resources. And they're also on Twitter at Keep It Sacred, and also on Facebook at Keep It Sacred. And also you'll see a lot more from IHS this next year as tobacco cessation, smoking cessation is becoming a priority. So,
and Chris,
a lot of resources coming out there.
That's great. Chris, where can people find you?
They can find me at the California Rural Indian Health Board. And it's just chris.cooper@crihb.org.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our show today on smoking. We really appreciate both Chris and Matt, Chris Cooper and Matt Pendleton, for joining us. If you have something that you would like to share, you didn't get in on the conversation, you can send us an email to comments@nativeamericacalling.com. Or you can send us a Facebook message. We are on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Native America Calling. And one other way to get a hold of us is at Twitter. We tweet at 1-800-99-NATIVE. We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, or if you have ideas for topics in the future that you'd like to share with us, that would be really great to hear from you on that. Conversation on smoking is an important topic for our audience, and so we will no doubt have additional discussions in the future. But right now, let's turn to some sad news. We want to take a moment to celebrate the life of John Trudell. The Santee Sioux poet, musician, and activist died yesterday at his home in Northern California. He was a gifted person and a friend of Native America Calling. He started his career as an activist and was a key member of the American Indian Movement and the occupation of Alcatraz. He started writing poetry after his wife, three children, and mother-in-law were killed in a fire at his home. Trudell spoke with Native America Calling host Tara Gatewood last summer. They talked about Trudell's late music collaborator, Jesse Ed Davis, who died in 1988. Trudell spoke about how improbable their success was.
Our whole idea was to make art. It wasn't about making hit records. It wasn't about being rock stars. It was about making art. That's really what it was about. Because we knew we didn't fit any of the demographics. You know, like 85, I'm almost 40 years old. Jesse's 40 years old. He's beginning in his 40s. You know, so here you have this ex-Indian militant, me, and you got Jesse, this incredible musician, but who had a drug problem, right? So you got us. So we don't fit any demographics, you know? We know no big record company. None of that's going to come along. So what we did it because it was something we wanted to do. It was in us to do it.
Trudell credited Davis for bringing music to his poetry. He referred to himself as a poet rather than a musician. but he had a spiritual connection to what he and his band produced on stage.
Music is medicine. It's medicine. You know, in reality, we live in, everything is about energy. You know, I mean, everything. We are units of energy. So anyway, everything's about energy. Being part of human is the energy part, spirit. And all energy has frequencies. Right? Just the way that it is the way it works. And so for us as human beings, the music is one of those energies that kind of, the frequency of it is like, it's a medicine. And I think it's a part of who we are, the music. Either in the context of we're the musicians and we make the music, or it's a part of who we are in that we don't know how to make the music, but we know to feel the music and to appreciate the music. You know? So I think music is medicine.
Join us on Monday, and when we'll devote an entire hour to the life of John Trudell. He was 69 years old.
Where the sky fell, pulling all the stars down on you, leaving only vast darkness. A world where you no longer understood, searching the eyes of people around you, seeing that they didn't see it. So where does that leave you with those can't lose the blues?
Breaking the looking glass.
Breaking the looking glass.
Forgetting which world,
forgetting
you're in.
Which world you're in.
Surrounded by
the density
of slowing light.
Isolation. Kindling. Separated from the spark. Watching flame turn into embers, knowing that's the promise of your life. Did you ever get the blues? Did you ever say it, and no one could hear you? Did you ever get the blues? Those can't lose the blues. Did they ever get you?
Broadcast Corporation is accepting artwork and reservations for the Alaska Native Art Auction taking place February 18, 2016 in Anchorage, Alaska. Over 400 business leaders and executives attend this annual event. Proceeds benefit Kwanik's news programming. Learn more at knba.org.
You can enjoy the holidays and manage your diabetes. Health insurance gives you all the tools you need to stay healthy. Get covered and enjoy the season. Learn more at healthcare.gov/tribal or call 1-800-318-2596. A message from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kwanik Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.